It feels like with this reading, we do take a step backwards. We covered a lot in Christmas, and while I don't know about Kristen at Manor Road United last week where I preached, we already had Mary and Joseph leaving for Egypt. So it feels like we've gotten the story mixed around a bit, hasn't it? This is the challenge with our calendar, where the readings for each week don't always line up with the readings for the holiday that come with it, where Epiphany, that's tomorrow, is celebrated as the day where the wise men finally arrive and meet Jesus. So this story seems a little bit chopped up, the way that you flip between TV channels to find hockey scores, and you don't quite know who scored what, but you know that there's a game on, and that's good enough for now. Regardless, this is an important part of the story. It is the one that brings together ordinary and extraordinary miracles. I hope you had a relaxing winter break. After finishing all of our family dinners and celebrating the new year and taking my cat to the vet a couple times, she had eaten her body weight in cardboard. She's fine, I promise, though I think she hates the lack of cardboard in our place, but that's not costing me any more x-rays. Throughout all of this, I decided I would finally do what I do best, binge watch TV. Because one of the channels had House MD on, a full marathon, every episode of every season from December 23rd to today at midnight. For the record, you do not need to watch this much television. It is not healthy in any way, shape, or form, but New Year's resolutions are also about celebrating the things that aren't healthy for you, like binge-watching this show. They all blur together after a while, and you lose track of who's dating who, and if they solve the mystery of this case yet, or who's in jail, but it's not meant to be stimulating TV. House, for the uninitiated, a brief 10-second primer, is simply the biggest ripoff of Sherlock Holmes the 21st century has to offer. His name is House. House Holmes. His best friend is named Dr. James Wilson, Dr. John Watson. House, like Holmes, loves solving mysteries no one else can solve and is addicted to substances that keep his mind occupied while the mysteries are not being solved. At least one per episode, someone will suggest lupus. It is never lupus. Moving on. But with 7 minutes left in the show, every time there will be that moment. House is busy insulting someone, or he's bouncing a little tennis ball, or he's twirling his cane around, and he focuses on one thing. It could be the kid pointing at the fish in the aquarium in the lobby. It could be a patient talking about how much water they're drinking. It could be his supervisor telling him once again that he has horrible bedside manner and he should have been fired 3 seasons ago, but there we are. There will be a flash of brilliance. He hobbles with his cane over to the patient's room, injects the patient with some random drug, and he is cured. House always ends with a moment of epiphany. Epiphanies are almost always based on small things in our culture, aren't they? It is why the age-old advice for a mental slump is not to buckle down, work harder, do more research. It's to go for a walk, clear one's head, read a book, watch more House. Allow the idea to come to you. You can't go chasing after it. It's out there, in the universe, waiting for you to find it and bring it to life, but you have to sit still or go for a walk. All you need is a good hike to sort out your problems, apparently. And boy, do the wise men have problems. Sent by their own government to follow a strange new star that disrupted the constellations, they enter the kingdom of Judea. As we all learned from our pageant a few weeks ago, King Herod is not a kind ruler. Selfish and cruel, he was willing to eliminate anyone who posed a threat to his throne. He asked the Magi where the baby was, and they replied, Bethlehem, without hesitation. Herod asked that they bring back confirmation that the baby was there and exactly where he was so that he may pay tribute to little Jesus. Now, the Magi have spent months traveling from their home kingdom. They themselves are literally called wise men. Jerusalem is just a 1-2 hour walk away from Bethlehem, maybe 3 if you're exhausted. This could all be sorted out tonight. But there's a problem. It would have not taken long for these wise men, who are learned not just in the ways of stars, but in the ways of people, to know that King Herod was not going to pay homage, was not there to like baby Jesus, not there to befriend Mary and Joseph. They've seen kind and cruel rulers, and the cruel rulers can never hide that streak for very long. Were they really going to tell a man with unlimited resources, unlimited soldiers, and a whole country behind him where the one threat to his throne was? A defenseless child. On the other hand, if they don't cooperate, if they simply walk away, it would not just be their own heads on the line. It would fracture any relationship that their government has with King Herod's. Wars have been started over less. Their own families and communities relied on them to not anger anyone else further. Do what they need to do, but don't step on anyone's toes on the way. So, they have to rely on the age-old question, which is more important, your duty to your family or your duty to your calling? A near impossible problem with lives on the line and only hours to ponder it. These are the impossible problems we deal with every day. We are not sent out to find babies and tell kings where they are. But while we can all agree on certain facts that we should not drink and drive, and if we don't agree, that's next week's sermon, we should not kick small children in the face. We should not murder, we should not steal, we should not lie. This we all agree upon to prevent us from diving into chaos. But what about problems where there's no good outcome, only less bad ones? Do you take sides between friends that are fighting? How about, do you be honest with someone? Try to be kind, knowing you're going to break their heart. You might lose that friendship in the process. Not to mention all the ethical decisions we make every day about who to invest with, whether to walk or drive, who to call upon, which charities to support. Sometimes there's no good decision, just a less bad one. How do we navigate that? We can't always be like Dr. House, just stare at space for a few minutes and the answer will arrive. There are many traditions to help us solve this problem. In Buddhism, there's meditation and ancient texts that ask us to dive into these problems. Indeed, Buddhism is known for starting with the idea of solving problems with no answers. There's Jewish scholarship, where your whole point is to bring up both sides of an ethical dilemma, and somewhere in there is what you must do. And philosophical teachings from rationalists and logicians over the centuries bring together ideas that it's not a divine power that tells us what to do, but it's within ourselves the ability to solve these problems. In the Christian tradition, we also have a path illuminated by the Spirit. We can't be like Dr. House, but we can be like the Magi. Go for a walk. Follow the star pointing east. Follow in the direction of God's light and love and wisdom. Follow the direction of Jesus, a small child living in a tidy podunk village in Judea, born of the most challenging of circumstances, an unwed teenage mother, adopted stepfather as a carpenter. Follow the direction of the child who becomes a refugee before he knows what violence is. Follow the direction of Christ, the adult who walked and talked the walk and the talk, and he ate and he worked with those on the margins, including them in his plans to build a kingdom of justice and compassion. Follow the star that connects us to the one who would die at the hands of tyranny and be resurrected in love by the grace of God. When you follow that star, when you follow that path, it's not an easy one, but it's one that will always lead you in the correct direction. This year will offer us many opportunities to make choices. They will not be as simple as, should we feed the hungry? Should we care for the sick? Should we love our neighbor? Yes, we should. But there will be more difficult decisions to make ahead. We will not be making those decisions alone. We'll be making them under the guidance of a God that loves us, a Spirit that shines upon us, and a Christ that walks with us, saying, I know it's tough, but I got an idea. And so, my friends, because I don't get to say this to you ever, go take a hike. Amen.